Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning. We're in Galatians chapter 5. We'll be starting in verse 22. Matter of fact, let me read, I'm so sorry, our text to you this morning. In Galatians 5:22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and the desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." You know, this text, very short, very deep though. Amen? Oh, listen, last time we left off with the slave in me. Remember, that was last Sunday. We looked at all the works of the flesh. I believe Paul listed 17 there. But this morning, the works of the flesh, as we already know, they're open, they're evident, everyone can see them. But now we move into the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. And you know, the fruit of the Spirit is whenever we give the Holy Spirit his rightful place, his proper place in our lives. Remember the command in verse 16 that we are to walk in the Spirit, and then we receive the promise we will not fulfill the works of the flesh. And then there's also going to be that conflict. But after we get through those stages, now comes the incredible adventure, and that's walking with the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully. You know, I'd say a lot of times in the service that, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is called sanctification. Sanctification, of course, is a process where the Holy Spirit, as we yield to him, takes us from glory to glory to glory. Now, that's the adventure. But let me say something about the adventure. Going from glory to glory doesn't mean it's painless. Okay? Sometimes adventures are not painless at all. They're painful. Amen? But, oh, it's the victory at the end of it. Amen? So always remember that, loved one. It said, the Bible tells us that we're going to be persecuted. We're going to be hated. It says through many tribulations, the Bible, Paul tells us that we would enter into the kingdom of God. Now, it says here, remember how we left off. It says, those who practice such things, those 17 sins that Paul listed. The word practice means an ongoing, habitual, never-ending lifestyle, meaning these people never want to be set free from what they love, their sin, okay? So those who practice, it says, will never, ever, such things will never inherit the kingdom of God. And then there's that great word in verse 22. The word is but. Now listen to me. But is like a hinge or hinges upon a door. Man, this is what opens up the door, is the work of the Holy Spirit working in the life of the believer. And so this is how we find the adventure. That's where it begins. Also, that is, again, that sanctification, where we're changing into the very image of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit that's working in us. You see, that word but means that's where, if you step forward, you discover your gift. Actually, that's water walker territory, amen? That's where angels open the prison doors. This is where true, ongoing intimacy with the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, this is where it truly begins right now. And so as we look at when the Spirit has his way, I want you to pay careful attention to these verses. It says, but the fruit of Bill is love. Don't ever forget what I just said. The fruit of the Spirit is not me. It is not you. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit is love. And I want you to note, works was plural, but here fruit is singular. It's one fruit which manifests 9 different graces in our text, okay? So the Christian, you've got to get this into your heart now. You, me, we are not the source of this fruit. It's not even our fruit, amen? It's the Holy Spirit's fruit. It's God's fruit. It's not our fruit. The source, the direct source of all of the fruit is the Holy Spirit himself. And once you see that, that these are divine attributes, supernatural divine attributes of the living God, everything starts changing. You will never be fruitful in your life as a believer if you're not abiding in the true vine. Amen? Jesus said this in John 15, 1. He says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser, or the divine farmer, if you will. Jesus says, every branch. Now, a branch is a disciple. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every fruit that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken unto you. Now, that would be, of course, in John chapter 13 in the upper room discourse with the Lord. It says, abide in me, I in you, as the branch cannot. It's impossible. The disciple cannot bear fruit of itself. I can't do that because it's not my fruit. Are you with me? Okay, he says, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So every Christian that truly abides in Christ produces real fruit because there is real union. You're abiding in him, drawing strength from him, the source of all life. Amen? Now, with all that being said, fruit is a natural relationship to those who truly live and abide, draw strength from, be in union with, and love the Lord Jesus Christ. You just hang there. You're just like an apple on a tree. You know, it doesn't go, oh, apple. No, we don't have to strain. If all we have to do is rest and abide in the Lord. Jesus says, I'm the vine. You're the branches. I'm the source of all life, in other words. And he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Severed from the Lord, apart from Christ, you cannot do anything. And anyone who is apart from Christ and severed from Christ, they are not a believer. They are not a Christian. Jesus said, you can do absolutely nothing. You can do a lot of things in this life, loved one, but you cannot do anything that has eternal significance unless you abide in Jesus Christ. Now, that's the fruit. That's the adventure. Jesus said in John 14, 6, let me read it to you. Jesus said to the disciples, he says to us as well, he says, and I will pray to the Father, he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. For he, that's the Holy Spirit is a person, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus used three different words in the Greek. He said, the Holy Spirit will be para, alongside of you, the paraclete, forever and ever and ever. But he will also be in you, E-N, living inside of you. Amen? Do you know, do you truly believe that your body, if you are a believer, and we are believers this morning, your body, the purchased possession by bought with the blood of Jesus, your body is right now the naos, or that's the temple, the word naos there means holy of holies, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the holy of holies living in us. Don't look at the outside, it's perishing. Look at the inside that's being renewed daily. Amen? And he goes on and he says again, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. There it is. That one word encompasses everything that God does. The word is agape. You know that word. We know that word with all of our heart. It's the supernatural love of God, the uncaused love of God. It's a love that is supernatural. It's from heaven. We can't produce it ourselves. And it reaches out to others, regardless of what they've done, regardless of who they are. And we treat others as Jesus Christ has treated us. Amen? As God has treated us. This love, unfortunately, is a choice. You have to choose to let his love out of you. Amen? It's a choice. And let me say something else. It's not necessarily a feeling. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that are enemies. I'll show them love, but I don't have to have the feeling of love. Does that make sense? Or the emotion of love. This is God's love. It's not my love. Once you see that, it changes everything, a loved one. But I'm going to tell you something. This blows me away, because all the love, the joy, the peace, all the things we're going to talk about, they are the divine attributes of a thrice holy God. Now listen, they live in us right now. They live in us right this very minute. And God, in his incredible love and grace, says, I share myself, my divine attributes, and all that I am with you, so you can walk in them by the power of another. Amen? Man, and I say, oh, Lord, you are so good. Only new creations, only people that are born from above can love with God's love. No unbeliever has this kind of love in them. They can love with the eros, or the sensual love, or the storge in the Greek. It means the family love, or phileo, which is that brotherly love. We can all do that. But only the believer, and no one else on earth can have the agape of God in them, unless only those who are born from above. Man, that's unbelievable, isn't it? The Bible tells us in Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint, for the love of God, the agape of God, has been poured out into our hearts by, and here's how it happened, by, not because we earned it. You can't get it from your family. It doesn't come through the DNA. You have to be born from above. It says by the Spirit of God, which has been given unto us. Now, it's been poured out. That word literally means poured out lavishly, and has never stopped being poured out, because God's love never ends and God's love never fails. Amen? It's in us right this minute. All of these attributes are alive because of the Holy Spirit that indwells us right this moment. So when the Spirit has his way in your life, when you yield to him, that slave is dead. You're a new creation. You yield to him, then the love of God, the agape of God, is then manifested to others, not just in your walk, but in your talk as well. Now, don't confuse, as many do today, don't confuse the gifts of the Spirit with the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, you know, when we're gifted, God gives us a supernatural gift. The gifts of the Spirit show our ministry. Amen? In other words, some of us are gifted to teach, some are gifted to serve, some of us are gifted to are great givers or encouragers, whatever it might be, are all the gifts of the Spirit. But the gifts of the, or the fruit of the Spirit, they show a person's true maturity. Does that make sense? See, if they're not manifesting these gifts, carnal Christians don't manifest those gifts, okay? They're carnal. They live after the flesh. They live like mere men, the Bible says. Meaning, mere men means like a person who has never been born again. But here, when we look at this, you know, the gifts, fruit show, again, my maturity. The gifts show my ministry. And let me say something. You see a lot of things happening today in our society, the gifts of the Spirit in operation. I love all the gifts. But gifts never show a person's maturity. They never show the depth of a person's inner character, ever. And matter of fact, love is the only operation, God's love, that the gifts actually operate in. Why do you think God made chapter 12 and chapter 14, and right in the middle are the, here's the gifts in chapter 12 and chapter 14, but right in the middle of that is chapter 13, which is all about love, amen? So the Bible tells us about the gifts of the Spirit. What does Paul tell us? 1 Corinthians 13:1. He says, though I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass, a clinging cymbal. I'm sorry, clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, now these are all the gifts of the Spirit here, and understand all mysteries, and understand all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but if I don't have love, Paul says, I'm nothing. absolutely nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Don't ever forget that. The gifts operate by the agape of God. Amen? It's never to lift man up. It's never to make a star out of a man, a star out of a woman. It's to glorify Jesus Christ and no one else. The Bible says in John 16, Jesus said, verse 14, I believe it is, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will glorify me. Not glorify a man's ministry, but glorify Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful to know? Why? Because these fruits and these gifts, they're not ours. But we are stewards over what God has given us. Now, with all that being said, as I've said many times in this church, agape, or God's love, is the absolute highest evidence that a person is truly a believer. Love. Not because they go to church. Not because they give, not because they serve, not because they open their Bibles, not even because they pray. Listen, the highest evidence is love. It's not the gifts of the Spirit. We need to make sure we understand that. You know, gifts do not mean a person's flowing in supernatural miracles. That doesn't mean that person is saved. It doesn't. Remember what Jesus said? He said in Matthew 7, he was talking to the disciples, he says, listen, about false prophets, and da-da-da-da-da, and he goes, by their fruits you will know them. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. So anybody can call Jesus Lord, amen? That doesn't mean they're born again. Not at all. That's just the beginning. Now you step into the will of God. He says, but many will say to me in that day, many in that day, many throughout the ages will say to me in that day, the day that Jesus returns and judges, the judgment occurs. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name? Now, the gifts of the Spirit. And if we read our text, which I'm going to finish in just a second, Jesus did not condemn their preaching. Jesus did not condemn them casting out demons. He didn't condemn any of that. What he did condemn was what they did. Listen carefully. And Jesus said, then I will declare to them, those that were casting out demons and all the rest of it, I never knew you. I never had an ongoing, intimate relationship with you. You're not my son. You are not my daughter. I know who you are, but I don't gnosko you. I don't have that intimacy with you. He says, and then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. And here's the reason. You who practice lawlessness, that ongoing, habitual, continual lifestyle of sin against God, never doing the will of God, even though you call him Lord, Lord, whether it's then or today, that's the same thing. Listen, loved one, like you've heard me say, you know what? It is so easy today and then to experience the power of God, the presence of God, and never have the person of God living in your heart. Boy, we want to make sure we know Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, so the fruit of the Spirit is love. I love that. You know why? Christianity is God's love, not our love. Christianity is God's love in action. Matter of fact, remember it says that faith worketh by love, or faith expresses itself in love, or it's energized in love. Remember last time we were together, I believe it was, or 2 weeks ago, in what was it, Galatians 5:14? The law, the entire law of Moses is summed up in one word, obedience to one word. It stands fulfilled in one word, love. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Man, it is the fruit of God's Spirit living in us is love. I don't need to quote every scripture on love in the Bible, but one of our vision statements, you know what it is, John 13:34, when Jesus there in the upper room, he had just washed the disciples' feet, he set them down, he had hours left to live, and he says, a new commandment I'm going to give to you. And here it is, he said, I want you to love one another the exact same way, to the same degree that I've loved you, that ye love one another. He said, by this, all will know. Isn't that amazing? That one thing, the agape of God living in each of us, loving one another. He says, everyone will know that you are my disciples when you love one another as I've loved you. Not because you come to church, not because we have great worship or great preaching or any of those things. That doesn't mean a thing, loved one. But boy, this means everything here when we love one another. Remember what Paul said over in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians? He says, now abideth faith, hope, and the greatest of these is love. Amen? The greatest of these is love. Even when he finished talking about that, in verse 14, he went down and he says, listen, pursue love. Go after love with all of your heart, and especially that you would prophesy, meaning the gifts of the Spirit. But love always comes first. And so fruit, now listen, fruit is the test of the Christian life. And works are not fruit. Did you hear me? Works are not fruit, loved one. The fruit is listed right here before us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and here comes the next one, joy. Whenever we allow the Holy Spirit of God to have His way in our hearts, in our life, in our walk, God's supernatural joy is manifested in our hearts. The joy, we're not talking about happiness. Happiness is something from the world. Joy comes from heaven, amen? You have God's joy living in you right this minute. All you have to do is let it out. You can be the most joyous people in the world. We all go through hardships. We all have bad days. I know. Jesus said this about joy. He said in John 15:11, these things I've spoken unto you that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Again, that word full in the Greek, pleru. It means that Jesus said, I want your joy to be overflowing. Because see, Jesus said, my joy is overflowing. It never stops. The Bible says, Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the shame of the cross. The joy set before him to rescue us, to die and take our place, loved one. The Bible says, it says in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy. And here, how does that happen? In the Holy Spirit. Peace, joy, both fruits of God. Amen? In living in our hearts. You know, joy comes from obeying the Lord. A yo-yo Christian is always miserable. They're never happy. No, you know, and here when it says about the kingdom of God's not eating and drinking and so forth, but righteousness, that's talking about living the right way, obeying the Lord, and it produces joy. It produces peace. Why? Because the Holy Spirit releases that into your hearts. It says also, it says when the Spirit has His way, God's peace, that fruit, is manifested in your heart. One of my favorite scriptures I go to when I don't know what to do is Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Call the shots. It means to be the umpire. Safe, out, no, don't go that way. If you don't have that, don't ever violate the inner peace of Christ. Amen? In other words, if it's not right and you don't do that, never violate that. No, he says that peace here manifested in our hearts. Now listen, that is not the peace that is found in Romans 5:1, to where now that we're justified by faith, it says we have peace with God. That's not what this peace is about. Thank God we do have peace with God. You know, God's no longer, he's not upset with us. We're in his Son. We are in Christ. But here, this kind of peace is talking about that inner peace that we can have. Jesus said in John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that he's given you his peace? The Prince of Peace is living inside of you right now. He says, oh, not as the world gives do I give to you. I thank God because there's no peace in this world. And there'll never be peace in this world. No. You know, the world, they believe that peace is when you have, when you're rich or you're this or you're that. And then they end up miserable. The peace that we have can never be taken away from us. It says, Jesus, let your heart, don't let it be troubled and don't let it be afraid. Listen, when a believer has his peace, the peace of Christ, that means you also have his presence. He lives in us. Amen? Yes. Romans 15, 13. Listen to this one. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace. And here's how it happens. In believing that you may abound in hope. And he tells us how. Again, by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we can't abound in hope. We can't have that kind of joy. We can't have that kind of peace without the Holy Spirit of God. It's not our attributes. It's God's attributes living in us. That's why when it says in Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, remember, about prayer, thanksgiving, supplication, let your requests be known unto God, and the very peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's God's peace. The peace that passes all understanding, guarding you, guarding your heart and your mind, the two places where the enemy loves to attack. He sets a military arsenal, if you will, God himself, around those areas of the emotional areas of your life. So when the Spirit has his way, let's look at the next fruit. Long-suffering. You like that one, don't you? Are we a long-suffering people? Not if you drive 820. No, no. Listen, love suffers long. Amen? See, that's not our long-suffering. This is God's long-suffering, and it's supernatural. That gives us the endurance to face any kind of adversity. It gives us the endurance, this long-suffering, whenever we're being persecuted or insulted and so forth. We endure. Why? Because we are very slow to anger. We are long-tempered. Amen? That's what the word literally means. We're long-tempered, you know, and so forth. It says in Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Look at the next one here. Kindness. That's a great one, isn't it? That's what we're getting ready to do to people that come on Candy Cane Christmas. Oh, what a great day. And kindness. It's not having kind feelings, but it's literally, you want to do kind things. I told Becky, my wife, on the way up here this morning, I said, I am so excited to love on the single moms, no matter who they are, where they, it doesn't matter. To love them and let them know that God loves them. Amen? See, that's what this kindness is. It reaches out to other people. That's what God always does. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. The Bible tells us to be kind one to another and tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ has also forgiven us. Oh, that great kindness. And then look at the next one, another fruit, goodness. You know, the Bible calls a man in the Bible, I think maybe two, but or maybe just one, a good man. You know who that is. It's Acts 11:24. That's Barnabas. Barnabas says the Bible says the Holy Spirit records for us that he was a good man. Goodness. That means, that word means active goodness toward other people. That's what God does. Romans 2:4, it is the goodness of God that leadeth a man to repentance. Amen? Yes, it's his goodness. God is good. He doeth good continually. Everything that God does is good, is perfect. Amen? That is living in you right now. And Paul says, get this out of you. Let the world see this, and so forth. He says, oh, man, he says, this Barnabas, the reason that he was a good man, let me read why. It says, for Barnabas was a good man, and here's the reason he was a good man. He was full, he was overflowing with a person. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, to be full, that means, again, overflowing. That means the Spirit had his way in his life. He was led by the Spirit. He walked in the Spirit. He was overflowing with the Spirit. And I'll tell you why. Because he knew, believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Holy Spirit not only was in him, but was with him. He had an ongoing personal relationship with him because he practiced awareness. He knew in his heart, loved one. And look at the next one. I love this one. Faithfulness. Man, what is that word? It doesn't mean that we're being faithful to God. We want to be faithful to God. It means that I can depend on you. It means you can depend on me. It means that you're reliable. It means that I'm reliable. It means you're trustworthy. It means I'm trustworthy. God is faithful. He is always faithful. Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Proverbs 25, 13, like the cold of snow in time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. And here's what he does. For he refreshes the soul of his masters. The Bible tells us that a faithful man will abound with blessings. Boy, that's what the church needs to get back to, being faithful. I was sharing with the staff yesterday, because most people, you know, worked here. We were busy. We were eating lunch here, and I had just read an article that just was so sad to me. It broke my heart. And the article was entitled, How Christians Have Lost Their Credibility. And he goes through and he talks about all the things that are happening in the church and Christians and so forth in America. And then he starts giving the latest figures on what's happening. And here, let me give them to you. 37% of Christians do not believe that prayer is essential. I can't fathom that. Is that you? I love you. I'm not beating on you. I'm asking you, is that any of you? Do you not believe that prayer is not essential? It's just, Listen to the next one. Only 10%, I'm sorry, 40%. No, I'm sorry. Only on a typical Sunday, only 20% of Christians attend church. And they continue and they say, which means 80% of American Christians don't. They're not. 40% of church-going Christians, I couldn't believe this one, read the Bible maybe once a month or rarely or never. I'm going to tell you what, those people, whoever they are, if that's you, I love you, but I promise you, you are not being led by the Spirit of God at all. That's impossible. You have to renew your minds to the Word of God. You can't be transformed without that. No, and listen to this one. Only 10% of churchgoers give 10% or more of their income. What a sad, sad thing. Just think if everybody really gave. Dear Lord, we wouldn't be right now, I wouldn't be out trying to rustle up all the clothing and the shoes for the Candy Cane Christmas kids. Do you understand? We wouldn't even have to do that. We wouldn't have to ask anybody for anything. Why? Because all the Christians, you give to the Lord. Here's the last one about winning the lost. It's very interesting. Listen to what he said. The greatest key to reflecting the fruit of the Spirit is that you never actually have to witness to the lost. Very interesting. Listen, when you exhibit love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and you know, the rest of them, the lost, they come up to you and they start asking about you. And they say, you are living such a joyous life. They are astonished. Oh, when the Spirit has his way in the believer's life. Amen? Now look at the next one, gentleness, or that word really means weakness. That's a word picture of a little colt that's wild all of a sudden is tamed, gets under the control of his master, and so forth. Jesus said, blessed, oh, how happy, envied, fortunate, blessed are the meek because they will inherit the earth. You know, being meek doesn't mean, Christian, that you let people run over you. You know what I mean? Oh, he's just a meek little pastor. Somebody said that to me one time. You know, I wanted to show them how meek I was. You know? No, listen, meekness, no, it's when others want to run over you. You have the power to act otherwise. The meekest people on the earth, you know, the strongest men and the women in the Bible were the meekest people on the earth. Martin Lloyd Jones said this, meekness is not easygoing or niceness, peace at any price. Meekness is when you stop defending yourself and realize, I love this, that nothing can harm you. See, you don't have to defend yourself. The battle is the Lord's. Amen? He's right there with you. God is your rear guard. Man, a vengeance it belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to us. God said, hey, I'll pay it back. Don't worry about it, man. Just relax. He's got you covered. You remember Moses there in 12:3? The Bible, in chapter 12, Numbers, rather, it says that Moses was the meekest man on the entire face of the earth. You remember what his brother and sister did, Miriam and Aaron? They came to him and they were picking on him, da-da-da-da-da. Are you the only prophet around here? You know, it's like saying, I remember when you floating in the basket, Moses, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean. Big sister, big brother. And they were kind of beating him up. And all of a sudden, God heard what they were saying. Man, and God says, the three of you show up at the front of the tabernacle right now. And man, he starts talking to Miriam and Aaron and said, who do you think you are? He says, I talk to other prophets. I talk, you know, in dreams and visions. But he says, with Moses, I talk face to face. And remember what happened to Miriam? God looked, and man, she was totally leprous. Amen? And Aaron goes, oh, God, please, you know, don't let her. Her flesh is deteriorating. And Moses cried out to God, oh, God, please heal my sister. And God says to Moses, you know what? Moses is like, it's like a father spitting in your face. Is that what you really want? So God sent Miriam out of the camp for 7 days, I believe it was. Maybe it was 14. I can't remember now off the top of my head. And then after that, she was made whole. She could return to the camp. What does that say about the meekest man that was ever on the face of the earth? It's what it just said, that God defends you when you're attacked. Amen? That's what that meekness means right there. And then look at the next one, this self-control. You've got to have this one. But no, you do have this one. This is God's self-control. Listen, if I was God, I would already wipe out the earth. If I was God, I would go over to a nation right now that has people in prison, and they're in prison for one reason. They harvest their organs and sell them. I would wipe them out. I would wipe out every child molester, every child trafficker. But I'm not God. He has self-control. He's long-suffering. He wants everybody saved. Amen? Me, it would be boom. Okay, different. Self-control. There is an ongoing struggle. Remember, we learned in verse 17, a continuous ongoing struggle, an opposition between the flesh and the spirit. And here's the deal. The slave wants his way, and the spirit should have his way always. We will never have victory over anything, especially the sins of the flesh, if we don't have self-control or controlling ourselves. We can't do it, but with his self-control, you see what I mean? We can do that. You see, we don't have to explode with anger. We can just be like the Lord because he is living in us. It is not our fruit. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit living in us. And when the Spirit has his way, look at the last part of the verse. It says, against such there is no law. What does that mean? It means that there's not a law on earth that has ever been given that can produce these fruits. It is the Spirit himself. We don't have enough self-effort to produce this on our own. Does that make sense? And so he said, there's no such law. See, this is a picture of Jesus Christ, our Lord, living in us and the Holy Spirit taking us from glory to glory into the very image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it's more than that. It's letting all that is in us, which belongs to God, out of us to a world that is lost. That's what this is meaning. And then it says, and those who are Christ have crucified the what? Have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So those who belong to Christ Jesus the Lord. This is very important. If you don't get anything I've said, this one is very important. This is not about giving up sin. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's not about giving up passion, those sinful passions and those sinful desires. This is about giving up you. Do you understand? Read it again. And those who are those who belong to Christ, have crucified the slave. Does that make sense? Crucified the slave with its passions and desires. See, this is about denying me. It's about denying the slave in me and giving the Spirit his way. This is not the natural life. This here is the supernatural life. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh. Now listen, that's past tense. That means that the slave, the old man, the dethroned fallen nature has been, he's dead. He's been done away with. You don't have to seek to be crucified with Christ. It already happened, for when you die, when Jesus died on the cross, he died as you and for you. Amen? So it's already over. Jesus has done it all, every bit of it. And this is a fact. So what do you have to do? By faith, you appropriate this divine truth that I just shared with you. That's how it happens, all that Jesus did on the cross. So there's only one thing left to do, and that's to move forward in the power of another for the adventure. But here's the deal. And this is the truth, loved one. To know all this is wonderful, but here's the deal. If a Christian doesn't lose his life, he will never find his life. Do you understand? See, that's what it's all about. Jesus, what did Jesus tell us? He told the disciples, he tells every generation. He told them that he was going to Jerusalem. He said, I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer many things at the hands of sinners. But I'm going to rise the third day from the dead. He said, boys, this is what's going to happen to me. And then he said in Luke 9:23, Jesus said to them, he says to us, he says, if anyone, doesn't matter who it is, if anyone desires to come after me, there is only one way that you can do it. There's not a million ways. There's only one way. And Jesus said here, he says, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross daily. Take up is a command, okay? And he says, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. You see, if you don't deny yourself, he's not talking about, he's talking about the slave. Laying it aside. Laying the old Billy aside. If you don't deny yourself, you're going to live for yourself. If you don't want a Holy Spirit-centered life, you're going to have a self-centered life. Now listen, if there is no self-denial, there is no following Jesus. The word deny means to disown. See, we can't live the Christian life, loved one. We have to have the Lord doing it for us. So deny. Goodbye, Bill. Farewell to self. That's what it means. And Jesus said, follow me. How do you do that? How do we really follow Jesus? Well, we obey his commandments, but we can't obey his commandments unless the Holy Spirit lives in us. Amen? Unless we yield to the Holy Spirit. So how do we follow the Lord? We follow him when the Holy Spirit has his way in our life. Jesus told us in Matthew's Gospel 10:38, he says, he who does not take up his cross and follow me, you're not worthy. of me. Luke 14:27, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Do you know that Christians were first, they were first called Christians at what city? Antioch, remember? What were Christians called before Antioch? The way, but what else were they called? What was the one word that's used? Disciple, learner, pupil, student. Jesus said, whoever does not bear my cross and come after me cannot be my student, cannot be my pupil, cannot be my learner. You can't walk unless I teach you to walk. You have to follow me in order to learn. So Paul closes and he says, if we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not become conceited. I like that word. You know, a legend in your own mind. There's some egos that are bigger than the church, okay? You know, don't become conceited. And he says also provoking one another, irritating one another. We don't have time for that. Why would we want to irritate people? I get irritated too, you know? He says envying one another. That's the way of the slave. No. The word walk is very interesting. I know it's time to go, but listen carefully. The word walk used in this verse, verse 25, is different than the Greek word used in verse 16, okay? The word in verse 16, that command to walk in the Spirit, in the Greek is peripeto. I wrote that down so I could pronounce it right. Pretty impressive, huh? Let me say it again. I like it. Peripeto. And it means and suggests an ongoing, continuous relationship of intimacy with the Holy Spirit of God. You know He's with you. And you're getting to know Him in a greater way. But the Greek word here in this verse tonight, or this morning, it's pronounced this way in the Greek, stoikeo. Let me say it one more time. Stoikeo. You know, when I'm home in my study, Becky's like in the kitchen. In my study's laundry room, so we were right next to each other. And so on my software, I always go and I have a little button when I'm studying Greek words or Hebrew words, and I can punch it, and it pronounces it for me. So I'll go, stoikeo, stoikeo, stoikeo. Becky just, stoikeo, stoikeo. Oh, never mind. This word means, well, it has an idea to make progress. Okay, this word here in verse 25, where it says walk in the Spirit. It means to go on a journey. I use the word go on an adventure. It literally is a military word, putting one step in front of the other, or literally keep step with the divine helper, the Holy Spirit of the church. It also means something else. It means the ABCs are the elementary teachings. It's like teaching a child. So this word walk literally means this, the ABCs of walking with the Spirit. It means that if you don't step out and let the Spirit have His way, you will never learn to walk with the Spirit, because walking with the Spirit is a process. Are you with me? Oh, God, it's so important, loved one. It's a process of taking you from glory to glory to glory, into the giftings, into the adventure, whatever God has for you in your life. You'll miss out. Oh, you'll miss out. And what do? Well, you learn. You practice awareness. You know that He's with you. You listen for Him. When I'm in my, I say, Holy Spirit, what do I do? What do I do now? If I can't find it in the Word, I say, what do I do? Which direction do I go? See, here's what we have to do in this century, in the terrible times we're living in with the church and the church's entertainment and all the rest of this junk. Listen, it either is going to be Jesus or you. Galatians 2:20, what does he say? Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. I'm dead. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live, amen? I live for the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's either going to be Jesus or it's going to be the slave. You have to say goodbye to that dead slave in you. Oswald Chambers said this: beware of refusing to go to the funeral of your own independence. What a great word. Man, we need to go to that funeral and say goodbye and good riddance. I hear people say, oh, I can't wait one day when we're going to reign with Christ. That's wonderful, because we will. But you know what? The Bible says that you can reign with Christ right now. How? There's only one way: when the Holy Spirit has His way. I heard someone say this word, I'm closing, last night. It caught me. I went and wrote it down. He said, time is the final currency. What a great word. Time is the final currency. You can spend your time any way you want. You can manage your time. But loved one, you can never retrieve your time. Today, you cannot get back. If you're not walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, you are wasting your time. You are wasting your life. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name for this word, for this day, for these people, for Your divine truths. Lord, we want nothing else but to exhibit the fruit of God to this dark world. Oh, the privilege, the honor of having all of You, the divine nature, the divine supernatural love and joy, all of it, Lord, in us is overwhelming. Oh, God, You're great. You are incredible. We love You. We praise You, Father. And Lord, I pray even now, maybe there are those just say, I need to get back. I need to get right. Then do it right now. Get right with God. Get your hearts right with God. If you don't know the Lord, you know what? When we close out, you can come down. There'll be men and women at the altar. They'll pray with you, and you can receive Christ as your Lord, or you can get right with God. And that's the main thing this morning. So Lord, with all that being said, we love You, we praise You, we give You honor, we give You glory. In Jesus' name. And the church says,